Hello. I will repeat what I said to the in the previous session with the singles. It's a massive privilege for us to be here. We feel so grateful. Anton, I've asked, it's the third time that I ask you. He doesn't think that it. He thinks it's fine there, so I just have to keep on asking. I don't get to do this all the time. I don't travel all the time. It's just sometimes. So this morning I had a phone call from a mother that is, so Mikaela is our oldest, and she's got a friend, and this friend is not academically not very focused. So this mother is always extremely concerned, and she always phones me to ask Mikaela to help because she never knows about the homework. I also don't know, but Mikaela is very conscientious. So she phoned me this morning and she said, "Are you home? Can I quickly come?" And I said, "Oh, actually, I'm in London." London. So we are very excited to be here. And really, to be able to share is not something that we take for granted. So thank you so much for having us. I have 45 minutes to speak on marriage. So Anton and I had to sit and we said, okay, what can we say if we each have 45 minutes? Because sometimes we do this for a weekend, 2 to 3 days. So there's a lot to say about marriage. And I'm sure if you've been married long enough, then you will know there's a lot to say. So we reduced it to when we have a short time to speak about marriage, what will we address? And we basically reduced it to the scripture that I will read just now, where the Bible in Corinthians gives us one rule for marriage that works without failing ever. And that rule is, husbands, love your wives, and wives, respect your husbands. So I'm going to speak on how to respect your husband, ladies, and my husband, and then Anton will speak about how to love your wife, and I think he'll also speak about conflict resolution. He took that and not me because he's better at it than what I am. So, yes, I want to speak about respecting your husband. So there's a photo there. Not sure if this is the correct. That's the only, that's fine. We'll go with it. That's fine, Dong. I just think the other one had a different photo. Okay. So, no, you can go back. What is the third slide? Okay, that's fine. You can go back to the first picture. So that's me and Anton. I'm not usually big on photos and things and showing things like these. But I want to just say that when I speak about respecting your husband, I have 17 years of experience, which is compared to some other couples not long, perhaps compared to some of you it's fairly long. I have 17 years of experience of having to learn how to respect my husband. So the word, the Bible can tell you something, and it sounds easy enough. Respect your husband, no problem. And then you don't realize how hard it can be. I grew up in a home where, for which I'm very grateful, and there were mostly good things, but I did not grow up in a home where my mother was extremely good at respecting my dad, which obviously came from hurt, and also she had her reasons, I suppose. But I had to go on a journey of discovering how to respect my husband. So I just wanted you to show my prayer that I prayed often over, and you can go to the next slide there. Thanks, Dong. I battled quite a bit in marriage, and I remember learning and understanding that God wants, the Bible says, if you need wisdom, what must you do? You must ask. There's basically nothing else to do but to ask God. I used to think that you have to fast, you have to go up to the mountain and sit there in seclusion. Is there a word like that? Seclusion for a week, or I don't know what, just do something very spiritual and wisdom will come. But I have learned that if we need wisdom, we must ask. So I started going on my knees and asking God to teach me how to be Anton's wife. So last night Anton said something quite profound, and some of you were here and some not, but he said, do not compare your marriage to anybody else's marriage. Those are very wise words. So you can look at other husbands and you could think, well, if my husband was like him, it would be easy to respect him. But what God wants to do in your heart, ladies, and Anton will speak to the men, God wants to teach you how to respect your husband. Every husband is different. Every person is different. Different strengths, different weaknesses, different personalities. And God wants to teach you how to respect your husband. And the Word of God is our foundation. It gives us the principles. But we need to go on a journey with God, a very intimate journey, and sometimes a tough journey to learn how to specifically respect this one husband that God gave me. And this is my encouragement to start with this morning, is that you will be committed to this process, because it is a process. Because God's golden rule for marriage, and there's a lot to say, as I said, is love your wife, respect your husband. If you can, if your marriage can be built on that, it will go well, it will work well. So we can go to the next slide. And there's the scripture. Sorry, it's not Corinthians, it's Ephesians 5, verse 33. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. If we had more time, I would read much more from that chapter in Ephesians 5. It addresses marriage, and there's quite a bit of scripture that one can speak about and look at. But this is the golden rule for marriage. So let's move on to the next slide. So how can I respect my husband? I went and I prayed and I asked God, what can I share this morning that will be a short, powerful message that we can go home and apply? So we can go on. The first thing I believe, ladies, is to understand your role. So we had a conversation with Carlos and Elmarie about the culture in the UK. We know it's different. And we know that this is might be controversial in this culture, in this country. It's even controversial in South Africa. I suppose it's everywhere. But it is the Bible, right? And this is why we exist. This is our foundation. Genesis 2 verse 18. Now the Lord God said, it is not good, beneficial for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper. Let me just stop there for a while. Our role is to be a helper. I'm speaking basics this morning, but profound basics. We should make a peace with that. I remember not wanting to be the helper. I remember thinking, I need to help myself, and Anton can help himself, and why should I help him if he can help himself? And you know, if you have that attitude and you have babies, then it becomes 10 times worse. Because now you have to help the babies, and now you think, how on earth can I help this man and help the babies? And I have never even get to myself. We will speak about it. It is not, I will create him a helper. One, this is so profound. One who balances him, a counterpart who is suitable and complementary for him. Sorry, it's just so God says, this is our role, ladies. We are the helper. But in his kindness, God says, comparable to him, one who balances him, a counterpart. You know that when God made us in his image, male and female. Male is not better than female. This is a problem that feminists have, I believe. They believe that they must prove that female is better than male, or at least equal. But there isn't an issue here. We are comparable. One is not more important. There's just one practicality here. I believe God is very practical. If there are two people, one should take the lead. Otherwise, how will you move forward if one does not in some kind of way submit to the other one? And then God comes and he says, there is a blessing in this relationship. So here is the husband, yes, he is the head, and here is the wife, yes, she is the helper, but she is comparable to him, she is equal to him, she's not someone to look down to or to talk down to, and it's so obvious because the word says, love your wife, husbands, as Christ loved the church, and lay down your life for her. In other words, even serve her. So we are equal, but yet we should understand that I am the helper. So this is what I learned in my journey. I am still learning. I believe there's a lot to learn still. Sometimes I doubt whether I should be the one with the microphone. Every time when I am, I go, God, are you very, very sure? Because I'm not sure, but I am trying hard, and you know that, Lord. But this is what I have learned. When I decided to obey the word of God, even if I don't like it, and even if to me it doesn't seem good or logically, everything changed for me. Because I believe God says, wife, yes, you have a purpose as much as your husband has a purpose. You have one. Yes, you have a calling. Yes, you have a destiny. But for you to discover that purpose, that calling, that destiny, you need to position yourself. And where are you going to position yourself? You are going to position yourself as your husband's helper, a place of humility. Is it a humble place? Yes, it's a humble place to be, but from that place, God will be able to raise you up. Why? I don't know. This is how God works. This is what God does. God says, you obey my word, you will pick the fruit, you will eat the good fruit, because my word brings life and life in abundance. And God is only good. And I've learned that I must understand my role. And it has been challenging. Who of you have children? Okay, all the couples here. Oh, okay, sorry. I am going for an eye test when we're back in South Africa. I'm 42 now. So, you know, I remember when we lived in Potch in South Africa. And I had my fifth baby in the span of 7 years. And I also had two miscarriages. So I had seven pregnancies. And now the fifth baby. And I was really exhausted. And I was really, I had my fill of nappy changing nappies and breastfeeding and feeding babies and running after toddlers. And Anton went to some other, didn't live in Port. We lived in Standerton. In another town in South Africa, and Anton was at some other outreach or something. And, you know, it was building up and it was building up, but I became bitter. And I remember I just wanted to lie in a hot bath and just relax a bit. I filled the bath, and just as I got in, Caleb woke up and he cried, and I went to get him to sleep again. And just as I got in, and this happened for about half an hour, and I just couldn't take the bath. I was like, and finally the baby slept, and it was something like 12 o'clock at night, and I was lying in the bath, And then Anton comes home. And I, you know your husband well, ladies. The way that he opened the door and locked the door and walked towards the room, I knew that I knew that I knew he was excited. He was excited about what happened at this outreach and he wanted to tell me. And I was angry. And he came into the room, into the bathroom, and he said, "You won't believe." And I said, "Stop it right there. Keep quiet. Don't speak." I said to him, "You know what? You can go and change the world. I will stay here and change the nappies." He never got to tell me. I think to this day I never again gave him the opportunity to tell me. I was just so angry. And if I look back now, I realize that we must understand that we are the clay in the potter's hand and he's molding us. And he's molding us. He's forever busy working with us. And sometimes it's tough, but it is all worth it to understand our role. Because if we do, we position ourselves. And I have been so blessed. I've had so many opportunities in my life to do what I love. God would send babysitters. God would send food. At the moment, my sister is there with our 5 children for 3 weeks. God is even sending her husband. He took 2 weeks leave off work to be with our children. I mean, this is God's provision. I don't believe it would be like this if I kept on resisting my husband. I don't know, but I don't think. I believe that this is God. And I don't mean to speak about myself, but I'm trying to encourage you. I believe that this is God saying, "I see that you are willing to take this humble position, to put your husband first, to make his life your first priority. And I, therefore, will give you your own platform." And ladies, I believe there's a platform for you. You know what is alive in your heart apart from raising kids. We have other things that we also want to do. We do. You know what that is. Don't turn your back on that. Don't give up on that. But do the first thing, the most important thing, and not just will God bless you, your husband will want to see you flourish. He will want to see you. Why? Because whenever he comes home in the evening, he comes home to a cheerful wife. I know this sounds lovely. I know it's not always like that. I do know. But he wants to come. You know, we always say he needs a soft place to land. The workplace is hard for most men. And I know some of the women work as well. I work. But for him to come home and have a soft place to land, loving arms around him, someone who is ready to serve him. And you don't have to be a slave. Just show your love. This is showing respect. This will cause his heart to turn towards you and to create a platform for you that probably the only person he's able to create is your husband. There's so much more that I want to say about this, but we have to move on. Secondly, you have to speak with honor. This is the funniest scripture ever. Proverbs 21 verse 9. A man wrote this. I think it was from experience. I'm not sure if it's Solomon. He had so many wives. I don't know. It is some couple of them were probably. It is better to live in the corner of the housetop. That is the attic. You know that. I don't know if you have attics here in the UK. We don't really have them in South Africa, but we know what it is. I mean, the attic is really not comfortable. On the flat roof, exposed to the weather. Than in a house shared with a quarrelsome, contentious woman. I have seen this in my husband's eyes. I have seen this. I have seen him looking at me thinking, "Man, I'd rather live on the freaking roof than listen to your constant moaning day in and day out." You will never get a good response from a husband However, if that is your approach, we need to learn how to speak with respect. This is extremely important. Man, I battled with this. I so battled with this. I remember thinking to myself, surely if you are as tired as I am, and if you feel as overwhelmed as I do, and if you are, if your workload is my workload, surely it is okay to speak in such a disrespectful manner. It is not. It is not. Why? You know, the word says, wives, respect your husbands. Why? Because God says this because God knows, because He created the man. So He knows what will work with the man and what will not work with the man. And He knows if a man is treated with respect and honor, he will respond well to that. I have seen women who have dreadful husbands. Dreadful husbands, nightmare husbands, who would carry on treating those husbands with respect and praying like mad and crying every night. And those men would come to God and turn around because of that respect. I once read an article. It was the most beautiful thing that I have read in a long time. And it was a man, and he said, I'm a janitor. That is my job. He said, and when I go to the workplace, nobody sees me. Nobody really speaks to me. Nobody knows my name. And they don't really respect me because of the job that I do. He says, but this is why I am still excited about life. Because when I go home and I open that door, there is a wife who says to me, thank you for providing for us, which is very small salary. Thank you for putting food on our table. And children who say, Daddy, thank you. He says, I go to the workplace and I'm like a non-existent person. I go home and I am being treated like the king. He says, and all that I want to do is keep on providing for this wife and these children. Because when I go home, I am everything that I know God created me to be. And I had to go to God and say, God, my mouth, the tone of my voice, can you teach me how to speak to my husband? And to be honest with you, I still battle it. I still battle with it from time to time. And poor Anton grew up with a mother who always respected, who always communicated to his father with respect. So it was a bit of a shock to his system to marry someone who could be so openly disrespectful. And it's even worse if it is done in public. And ladies, I want to speak strongly here. Do not humiliate your husband in public by disrespecting him. It is one of the worst things that you can do. You sin against him, you sin against your children, and you sin against God. Learn and you teach your children, and your daughter will speak like that with her husband in the very same way one day, and it might end up in a divorce. We should take responsibility for the way that we communicate. Why? Because a husband responds well to respect. He responds well to words of life. He responds well. And if there's nothing to say, try your best to keep quiet. And you can be disrespectful by being quiet as well. Watch your body language. We are far from perfect. I know with each new baby it gets worse before it gets better. And this is what I have learned. God will not ever hold it against me if I stumble and fall, which I still do. But if I am committed to come back and repent and ask God to keep on changing me and helping me, God is so blessed by that. He is so happy. He is overjoyed. And He says, I want to teach you. I want to teach you. I want to help you. Okay. Let's move on to the next thing. Oh, let's first read that scripture, Proverbs 18, verse 21. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. I know it's the Message Bible. I know you're not always, I said that in the previous session, but sometimes you just have to use the Message Bible to bring the message across. We can all understand that. I believe that a wife has the ability to speak words into her husband's life that are seeds that will grow into the most amazing fruit for people to pick and eat, for your children to pick and eat. And we will speak about parenting in the next session, but let me just quickly say this now. The kind of father that your husband is to a great extent determined by how you treat him. But we will speak about that. So we must watch our words. And we must be careful before we speak. And we shouldn't drive them to the point where they want to live in the attic. We should take responsibility for the seeds that we sow. I have seen men in church, that are broken. That are broken. What breaks them? The words of their wives. I told you so. I told you it will never work. It's not a good idea. Where were you? Why are you so late? Why didn't you call? We all say those things. But we should learn and we should grow. Okay, let's look at the next thing. Respect him with your body. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 5. Do not deprive each other of marital rights. We should have used a message here. It probably says sex. Except perhaps by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves unhindered to prayer. But come together again so that Satan will not tempt you to sin because of your lack of self-control. Sex is extremely important. A couple of years ago, I had one of the churches, we lived in Standerton then, I think, or in Potch, I can't remember. One of the Chofa churches phoned me, and they said, we have a problem in our church. All the women who have babies or toddlers never ever feel like sex. All of them never feel like sex. Is it possible to come and speak to us? Because we heard that you had the same problem and you overcame this. This is the problem with the microphone, you know, people know about your life. And we think that perhaps you can tell us what to do. So I thought, okay, well, there will probably be 15 women or so. So I rocked up there. I will not tell you which church it was. It's also long ago. And there were 40 women. And I was quite surprised. And I said, mate, will you allow me? Will you be honest with me? Who of you really don't ever feel like having sex with your husbands? And 40 hands, at least 38 hands went up. And I said, okay, I understand you really desperately. You need this talk. And, you know, I used to do this quite a bit, and then I got a reputation, the lady that speaks about sex, and then I just stopped it for a couple of years, and now it's starting again, apparently. But I only have 3 minutes for this, so this is not, this is just the three minute thing. But I want to say that, ladies, I understand. I had a session on sex recently, and I specifically spoke about the fact that it's hard sometimes, especially if you've had a baby or more than one child, and you ladies don't really feel like it. And the one lady was married for about a month that was also there. And she came to me and she said, does it really happen? Does it really happen in a marriage that you don't feel like having sex? I said, well, yeah, to basically every marriage that I've had to do with. there are seasons in marriage. But, and we've come, Anton and I have come a long way with this, and I came a long way with this. And again, there's so much to say about this. But I want to say that we should make our sexual relationship a priority. And ladies, if you battle in this area, take it to God, pray about it, find a friend that you can share with, but sort it out. Why? You know, the Bible here says, if you decide not to have sex for a while you fast, have sex again, so that Satan will not tempt you. There are many good reasons why you should attend to your sexual relationship and make it a priority. One of those reasons are that you will be tempted, especially your husband will be very tempted because he is a man, and you know how God made men. Men need that physical release, but it's much more than that. The emotional need is much greater. And I believe that if you do not withhold sex from your husband, you show him a great deal of respect because you are meeting one of his greatest needs. And he will feel respected. And I know it's not always the most exciting thing. Man, I know. And that is okay. We must learn how to communicate. We must learn how to work through it and around it and deal with it and sort it out. And the husbands, and Anton will speak to the husbands, but the word says, dwell with your wife with understanding. Have understanding. Understand that if she had babies on top of her the whole day, you know, she has a great desire for some space. And, you know, having sex, there's no space. It's like she needs space. She is probably exhausted. You know, when I, as now our youngest is six, so it's fine now. But I remember a couple of years in my life where if I went to bed in the evening, I only wanted to sleep. Man, I was exhausted. It's all that I wanted to do. So we had to meet each other halfway. Anton had to have some understanding, but I had to still honor his need. And with everything in life that we battle with and that we wrestle with, we have to take it to God first and foremost. I asked people advice. Nobody could really help me until I went to God. And this is what I prayed. I said, God, can you be here when I am not able to have sex? And can you show me and teach me and help me? Because this is a priority. And it is the only relationship. This is what makes your relationship different from any other relationship. You can be extremely close with someone else. The difference is that sexual intimacy is in no other relationship. And when you attend to it, things tend to go well. Have you learned that? If you do not attend to it, man, you know, Anton is much better now, but he uses to lose keys. I have many things that I do that is probably very hard to live with. And you know, when our sexual relationship is not attended to, we are edgy. He's edgy because it's an emotional need and it's also a physical need. I'm edgy because I need that security of our intimacy. I need that. And it comes, a great deal of that, not all of it, but a great deal of it comes through sexual intimacy. And the keys, or we are late, or you said you would and you wouldn't, and the small things become huge things. Huge things. You fight. Have you learned that in marriage you mostly fight about the most ridiculous things? It's hardly ever the big things in life. It's the small things because you are edgy. But attend to this, and life is better and easier. And yes, sometimes it will be great, sometimes it will be amazing, sometimes you will think, can it be this good? Is it possible? It's amazing. And other times, you will just do it because it's the right thing to do. But do it. And trust God. And ask God to bless your sexual relationship. It is extremely important. And God wanted us to have pleasure in this life. Man, why on earth? Why? If it was just for babies, then obviously it would be different. This is important. Okay. Next slide, please. Carry him in prayer. This is a beautiful scripture, Jeremiah 31, verse 22. How long will you waver, O faithless daughter? And then this is the sentence that I want to focus on. For the Lord has created a new thing on the earth. A woman encircles a man. Isn't that beautiful? I believe the fact, ladies, that we are the helper refers to a great deal, to a great extent, to the fact that we are the primary person behind that man to cover him in prayer. You know, we had this program, all those who are from South Africa will remember, Achter Elke Man, behind every man with Bruce. What was Bruce? Steve Hofmeyer or Bruce, what was his name in the story? Anyway, so the name of the story was Behind Every Man, and the theme song said, behind every man there's a woman that knows what is really going on. And I want to say, behind every man there should be a woman who is praying for him. And I believe that those prayers are powerful. And I know that a husband who goes to work in the morning and facing great challenges, which is true for most husbands, can go if he knows my wife is covering me. You know, I heard the beautiful thing once. I said, you cannot protect your husband. It said, you cannot protect your husband from all the thorns and the thistles and everything on his journey, but you can be that flower in the middle of it all. You can be that beautiful flower. And I have learned I cannot protect my husband. It's not my responsibility. It's not my job to protect him from the challenges that he will face when he goes out there into the world. But I can pray. You know, the word says God will make a way where there seems to be no way. I can pray that way open. I can pray. I can speak into his life with authority. And in my experience, the more godly I am as a wife, and this is not, I don't suppose this is from the Bible, this is just my experience, but the more godly I am as a wife, it's almost as if my prayers are answered more by God, my prayers for my husband. And you know why a wife can pray with so much authority into her husband's life? Because she sees all his weaknesses. And you choose to cover those weaknesses. I have seen pastors. This is not a good thing. I remember when I was a student, we had this church conference, and there was a pastor about in his 50s, perhaps early 60s, you know, and they were married for many, many years, him and his wife, and he was preaching, and he said something about marriage and about his wife, and she sat there on the chair, and unfortunately I had a glimpse of her face, and she rolled her eyes, and she had this expression on her face, and I saw what she was thinking. I think I saw what she was thinking, and I think she was thinking, you are so weak, and I am so tired of being with you. That was the expression that I saw in her face. And I don't know why this happened at this conference. I just walked past her and another lady on my way to the bathroom, and I heard her saying to the other lady, they should just not ask me to preach on marriage. I have nothing to say. And I was thinking to myself, being a student then, God, may that never be me. May that never be me. And I understand that marriages become mundane and hard work, and life happens, you know, the babies, the financial challenges, the workload. I know, but this is not God's desire for us to stop pursuing him for our marriages. And ladies, we see those weaknesses that no one else will see, especially if your husband is a preacher. People might think he's almost perfect. But you know him. And you, in every situation that he finds himself in, that is tough or hard, you know his weaknesses. You also know his strengths. And you can pray into those areas, and you can pray with authority, and God will come through for that man. And it has a direct influence on you. A direct influence on you, because you are one flesh. So we don't just pray for them, we cover their weaknesses. We honor them, especially in their weaknesses. This is a godly marriage. And you will pick the fruit of that godly marriage. And when you do that, you create a safe space for your children. They will be safe in that marriage. Okay, let's carry on. Treat him as your gift. This is my last point. Your companion for life to transform you into godliness. Isaiah 64 verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you our potter, and all we are the work of your hand. You know, I remember a time when our marriage was difficult, and we've been married for 17 years now. And God said to me, I want you to look at Anton. I want you to look at him. And I looked at him. And God said to me, this is my gift to you. There are many men, like Anton said in the previous session, there are millions, billions of men on this earth. And of all these billions of men, one of them is mine and only mine. And he is my gift. How do you treat a gift? You treat a gift with gratitude. You treat a gift with respect. You know, if someone gives you a gift from the depth of their hearts, you are going to respect that gift. My love language is not gifts. I appreciate the gift, but I don't get too excited about a gift. It's not my love language. And I would, if you give me anything that can be given to someone else, I will probably do so. If it's cream, if it's soap, if it's any chocolate, chocolate I eat, if it's the sweets that I don't like, whatever it is, I will keep the packaging, I will keep the beautiful bag, I'll say thank you so much, and I'll just give it to someone else. But if someone gives me a gift that I really desired, and I believe before you married your husband, you desired him. And you married him because he was what you wanted. I hope so. He was what you wanted. And you chose him and you were excited on that wedding day. He is your gift. It didn't change 5 or 10 or 20 years down the line. He still is your gift. And you need to treat him as such. And this specific time when I looked at Anton and I said, God, this is tough. We don't seem to find each other. We don't seem to find any connection points. And at this stage, I don't know what to be grateful for. We are opposite personalities. I know many couples say this. We are one of those couples. We are opposite personalities. At this moment, I don't feel very grateful. And I don't know at this now, right now, God, I don't know why this gift that you gave me is doing me good. Well, I completely ignored the fact that there was 5 beautiful children and, you know, many, many good, fantastic years. I completely chose not to even think about that because I was bitter and angry and not doing well in the marriage. And God gave me the scripture. And God said, right now, I am molding you to become Christ-like. And your greatest, the greatest tool that I'm using to mold you is this man. Marriage. If you choose to do it God's way, if you choose not to walk out, if you choose to see it through, well, nothing in this life will mold you like marriage. Nothing will teach you how to become like Jesus and how to have humility and how to have endurance and how to have love and how to have forgiveness like marriage. Add a few kids into that mix. Add financial pressure. Add pressure at work. Man, you are being molded. Some mornings I wake up, not recently really, but and I feel like I'm being, you know, my body is even hurting. I'm like, God, am I aging or what? And it's almost as if I feel God molding me, but it's good. I am not the person that I was 20 years ago. I am not the wife that I was 17 years ago. I still have my battles, but I'm a much better wife. I'm a much godlier wife. I am being molded. And there are seasons. There are seasons that are harder and there are seasons that are easier. But God in His almighty wisdom will use every season to shape us and to mold us. And ultimately our marriages, and ladies, the way that we respect our husbands is the ultimate example of covenant and covenant love, spreading the message of the gospel through the world. That is why when people come to Shofar London or Shofar Stellenbosch, they should see good marriages. They should see wives who are respecting their husbands, not faking it. We can be real. We can be real. But we should constantly be seeking God to live godly lives. And our marriages will be blessed. So ladies, there's no other slides. Hey Dong, was that the last slide? So ladies, I used up my 45 minutes. So I want to end by encouraging you. I have a friend who was also... she had a baby, and she said to me, this marriage is over. And I laughed, and I said, this is far from over. You are just tired. And, you know, she had a couple of months where she really, really battled in her marriage. I'm going to tell you a story, which should probably be... Do you edit these things, David? Pause. You know, it was not going well in their sexual relationship. God sees him. She said, and he was dressed like a king. She saw a vision. She said he was dressed like a king. And he was strong. And he had armor. And he had a crown and everything. She says it was the most beautiful thing that she ever saw. She says God gave her this picture. And God said, this is the man that I gave you. I want you to treat him accordingly. And right then and there, she became a respectful wife. And ladies, I want to encourage us. Let us seek God for our godliness. Let's trust God for our marriages. And let's be that perfect, that let us be the very real example of God's covenant relationship with us. And remember, God is always, always, always faithful. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He answers us when we ask Him in various ways. And He is the one person that we can run to that has full knowledge. If I want to discuss my marital challenges with a friend, with a counselor, I have to explain so much. I don't have to explain anything to God. He already knows. I don't have to even say a word. I can just cry out, and He hears. And the word says His arm is not too short to save. Can I pray for the ladies before we carry on? Husbands, will you take their hands, please? I just want to pray over the woman. Father God, I thank you for every wife, Lord, that is here this morning, God. Thank you, Father, that you have chosen her for the man who is sitting next to her, Father. Thank you, Father, that he is her perfect gift from you, Lord. Thank you, God, that he is perfect because you use him as he is, with his strengths, with his weaknesses, with his personality, to mold her and to shape her into godliness, into Christ-likeness, into humility. Father, I pray for every wife here, Lord, that you will teach us how to respect our husbands, each one specifically, according to your will, Lord. And God, that we will die one day having served our generation well, having served our family and those who are come well, having set a wonderful example of covenant love, of godliness that brings life and life in abundance, Lord. And I worship you for every wife here, every marriage here. And I thank you, God, that you are more committed than they can ever be to not just make it work, Lord, but to make it solid, to make it a tree that will bear fruit for the nations in and out of season. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.